What we're talking about today is social justice. And following on from last week when we talked about that if white feminism is racist feminism and that we need to be all-inclusive, and following on from other guests we've had earlier in the year when we had Bhavya Wagner talking about her organization working in Cambodia to bring people out of poverty, and that statistically and studies show that if you work with women, you more empower the family to come out of poverty and to have generational wealth.
Because men are just selfish.
Anthony is speaking from experience there as a man himself, so he's allowed to say that. I wouldn't dream of saying something like that and offending possibly half of our listeners. But also following on from, we had some time with an organisation dealing with domestic abuse, and they have raised issues there that when people are suffering from domestic violence, they often are unable to leave, or they're unable to find a new place because they are still on the lease from the old place, and it counts against them for credit records and for finding accommodation. So they often have a choice between being homeless or being victims of violence. So today I've got a local organization, which is the Metro Organization for Racial and Economic Equity, or MORE2 for short, and they are seeking to tackle all sorts of issues like that for everyone in the metro area, whether male or female or even non-binary. They are hoping to bring people out of poverty with justice, and they're also specifically got an event coming up soon for tenants' rights, and that touches greatly on what I was saying before about the inability to break leases. So I would like to introduce everyone today to Laura MacDonald, who's the executive director, Diane Charity, who was one of their petitioners in the recent Healthy Homes initiative, and Clay Markison, who's one of the leaders in the organization. So welcome everybody, and thank you for coming to everyone today.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
So, Laura, why don't you tell us a little about your organization, when it was founded, what it does, and then your role in it?
More Squared is a 14-year-old faith-based community organizing group. We are part of a national network called Gamaliel that's based in Chicago. That's where former President Barack Obama was a community organizer. And the Gamaliel network is in 46 cities around the nation. But we here, More Squared, is a standalone 501c3 non-for-profit. And what we do is we aim to pass public policy and major systemic changes throughout our metro to eradicate, if you will, the inequities caused by racism and classism.
So when you say interfaith, do you mean just inter-Christian denominations or actually between different faiths and people of no faith at all?
We have certainly have people of little faith. Some days it's me. But it's we are in our current makeup. We are Jewish, Christian, and Unitarian, and we certainly would welcome people of any faith tradition. And we do certainly have people who identify as atheist or agnostic who are individual members of our organization.
That's excellent to hear. I know that some of the local humanist groups do quite a lot of work with some of the local charities like the Micah Ministries. So you volunteer and donate to there. So it's good to hear that you're inclusive.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So as executive director, what drew you to this organization and got you involved?
So I actually first learned of More Squared. I was a social worker in the community, and my congregation that's right up the street from here, Community Christian Church, was a member, a founding member of the organization. I started hearing about them. I started hearing attending that church when More Squared was pretty new. I was doing some organizing here in town around criminal justice issues when this job opened up, and I always thought I could do more on both a local and national scene if I saw a powerful organization role like the director of More Squared position. So I was really blessed when the job opened and that they had the audacity to hire me.
Yeah, it definitely helps when you go in with somebody's name that's a recognizable name. You go in under their aegis and you speak with their voice. And you suddenly find people start listening.
Well, you know, it's my job really to be the wind behind the people and push them forward usually at the microphones. That's why I'm not here doing this interview by myself, and why Miss Diane Charity and Clay, why I know them so well, and we're all together today. So,
Thank you. So, nice segue. Diane, why don't you tell us about yourself and how you got involved with MORE2?
I've been involved with MORE. Thank you so much for asking. I've been involved with MORE Squared for years. I've been knowing Laura for about 20 years, I think. If not, it seems like 20 on so many different fronts. And really have bought into and really admire what MORE Squared does. I think they're the most authentic group out here. And there are many a group out here doing this. But who's really authentic and who really has the what I call holy boldness to do and say what needs to be said. So with that, you know, when MORE Squared calls, you know, when they're having something going, I know that it's going to be a good thing. We're going to get stuff done. And there's a energy around MORE Squared that says, I got to join. I am a community activist. I've been one for 30 years. I've worked for more nonprofits than I'm willing to say. I'm also the board chair for KCPT Community Advisory Board, and I enjoy working part-time for a group called Show Me KC Schools, and we help parents find schools so for their kids. But this issue and the issues that MORE Squared brings up usually and in a great way, those are the issues that I'm really passionate about, especially this one about healthy homes and especially about tenants. And I'll tell you more about that later. I'm going to let Clay talk.
Thank you so much. So, Clay.
Hi, thank you for having us here today. I became interested in MORE Squared, I believe it was about 7 years ago, and it was the church I was still attending, Grand Avenue Temple United Methodist Church downtown, and our church was a member of MORE Squared, and it was really during this period of time that I really, after attending board meetings and getting involved with MORE Squared issues, that I really got a heart for what social justice is all about. And it was through MORE Squared that I learned, and I am learning so much, and that's where the work needs to be done and is being done, is at the grassroots level.
It's very easy for people who perhaps poor themselves to think, well, I'm at the bottom of the heap, I don't need to fight for other people because I'm right at the bottom, and not realize that they still got privilege and that they are still ahead of other people and need to do things.
And even if they think that they are at the bottom, then it's important for them to fight for their own rights, because I have not talked to a single person that lives in Kansas City that has not had an issue with tenant law.
So I have a question here. Hello, everybody. Angela Belize here. We thank you for listening to Every Woman on KKFI 90.1 FM. I'd like to ask, how was it that you came into this area of work? Was it in a personal experience? Because sometimes people just have a knack for something, and then sometimes when something hits more close to home, that's when we want to get further involved in this.
Yeah, so all three of us are actually renters in Kansas City, and what had happened was we got assigned a body of work. We accepted a body of work when, under the previous presidential administration, Secretary Castro from HUD said he made this rule around fair housing called Affirmatively Furthering Fair Housing, and it positioned Kansas City and New Orleans to first have to respond to this rule to create, to rethink policies around specifically racial and economic equity. And so we did community engagement for that. At the exact same time, I was dealing with a situation in my apartment where I had mold for 6 months in my apartment, and I was fighting my own landlords. And I'm kind of, you know, I'm me, right? I'm a tough lady. I was fighting. But I just kept thinking about moms like my mom who were working minimum wage and two jobs or three jobs, and they didn't have my income. They didn't even live in the type of apartment maybe that I did. And what were they doing, right? These landlords didn't have to fix anything by law in Kansas City. And so the feedback that we were gleaning from tenants like Miss Charity at the time, she was one of our loud voices in the room when she came out sharing, hey, I don't want to move. I just don't want to get displaced, right? And hey, we have things that need to be fixed and they just ignore us here, right? So that's what was going on. And at the same time, it was like the perfect storm or the perfect alliance. The health department had started doing test cases around this stuff because they were getting so many phone calls. So for me, it was very deeply personal. I had mold growing right outside my son's bedroom from an air conditioner leak. And while I got mine fixed through some idle threats eventually, it wasn't true of all the other folks in Kansas City. So when we, and that includes all of us who voted yes on this, when we passed this in August, within the first 30 days, I believe there were 108 phone calls to the health department. So it wasn't just my mold, right?
Right.
It was everybody's. But thank you for asking that. It was deeply personal for all of us.
That is awesome, and I'm glad that you were tough and courageous enough to speak out for yourself. But there are some people who are not, and some people who are just gracious and thankful to have a roof over their head, and sometimes that is just enough for them when it's not enough. If you have mold, if you have other issues going on, it's great to know that there's organizations out there like yourself who support those people.
We always try to center the work around people who are personally impacted. When we did Ban the Box, removing the criminal history question off employment and rental housing applications in Kansas City. I don't have a felony. I don't know what that's like. I've lived with somebody and rented with somebody who had one, but it's important for us to center people with felonies when we're doing that kind of work. So that's why the three of us are here today. It's a rare moment for me as the director to also be personally impacted by some of these issues, but that's who we like to have as our spokespeople. So thank you for saying that.
Awesome. Yes.
And so many issues don't tend to impact people who have money as much, because if you're in a rental agreement and you've got a lease that maybe lasts 12 months, if you have money and access to, perhaps you've got a work plan that gives you legal coverage and you get one free consultation before you have to start paying anything, you could get a letter written by the lawyer and you could break your lease and go somewhere that doesn't have that problem. But if you don't have money and those resources and that privilege, you're just stuck.
Not only do you have to have, when that lease is broken, you have to be able to move somewhere else. That is costly. And one of the motivators, besides myself going through some things, and one of the payments, and I hope my landlord's listening, is always the rent first. However, those that can't, and those that are forced to move or evicted, and several of my neighbors in my apartment complex have been forced to move. And that's really, really a sad thing, because all of a sudden here they've got another $1,000 cost on them to rent the truck, to get, you know, a place, to all those. And if you have an eviction on your record, you ain't moving nowhere, okay?
Yeah, and you need to find the money up front for a deposit for the new place.
Absolutely.
Which will be twice as high as you've already got an eviction.
Absolutely. And if you couldn't pay your rent where you were, how are you going to find that? And because the rental costs are so cost prohibitive now, you know, there's no place to find anywhere to go.
As a young person experiencing this firsthand, you will hear more about this after we have a short break. Hello, and we're back with Every Woman, talking with more two and three great individuals, Clay, Laura, and Diane Charity, Laura McDonald and Clay Markison, about the organization More Two and their recent or upcoming event about fair housing. And we've been talking about tenant law and health safety within housing. And now I will finish the tantalizing of, as a young 20-year-old with no rental history, although I have been paying the rent for over a year, having parents with poor credit, I cannot rent an apartment. It is the most hopeless situation. Even trying to find a roommate to just rent a one-bedroom or two-bedroom apartment, I cannot afford $700 a month for one room.
And then, if it's one room, it's not like you can exactly get a roommate to split the tenancy money with. And plus all the complications that might come with subletting and subleasing
and no credit scores.
Well, that's what bunk beds are for. You rent out the top bunk at a slightly higher rate. Isn't that how it worked when you were kids?
That'd almost be funny, except for I talked to a developer that's going to be developing on Troost and Armor, and he's going to put in 450 units, and the most economical one will be a studio for $950. And, but, however, he said, but we're going to give discounts to nurses and teachers. I said, and? I said, what about that busboy? What about the CNA that works over here? What about this one or that? Oh, well, they can just bunk together in the studio. Well, who's going to, you're right. You know, but this is, I mean, they are truly oblivious and think that this is something that's feasible for anybody.
And the $700 one-bedroom apartment was considered affordable housing.
And that's what I'm talking about, because it's not affordable housing. That is a code word for developers and investors to get the tax money and the tax write-off and this and that. I'm looking for houses that rental that is able to afford housing. And that's entirely different than affordable housing.
Until we get a higher minimum wage, we're not going to be able to afford the rent. And even when we get a higher minimum wage, it's still going to be very expensive rent.
That's exactly right.
And they'll probably jack the prices up because they're like, oh, everyone's got a higher minimum wage. They can afford more now.
We know factually that rent has grown the fastest or increased the fastest east of Troost in our entire metro area. It's actually flatlined in Johnson County, and it's growing very rapidly east of Troost. In an article in the Kansas City Star in 2016, they cited an 18% increase in 18 months. And we're talking about an average of $90 a month for people who live where Miss Charity lives. Clay and I both have lived not too far from here, the station. And he was recently displaced because they decided to flip his units into either more luxury or Airbnb. And he lives about a mile from here, closer to Troost as well. So that's the corridor of gentrification. And like I said, there's a reason why we're all three here. We've all been impacted by it. I myself moved up to near Zona Rosa because I'm trying to raise a child, and I don't want to spend all of my money on rent. I want to invest in my teenager as well, right?
When I was young in England and getting my first proper job, it was actually as a teacher. And the rent situation near where I taught was so bad that it was cheaper for me to buy a house than it was for me to actually rent. And I had two, three dogs at the time. So that usually is a bit of a downside if you're trying to get someone to agree to let you in their property.
Actually, it would be cheaper for me to buy a house if I had the credit to do so. It would be about $500 a month for the mortgage instead of $700 for one bedroom.
And, you know, buying a house, and that's something else that people say, the American dream, and you all that are from England or whatever might not know, but this American dream about 40 acres and a mule, I didn't buy into that dream. I'm from New York City. I've never wanted to own a house. I don't want to cut the grass. I don't want to fix the plumbing. But I just want to live economically in a place that is safe and healthy and not have to worry about those things.
I have no objections to the mowing the grass and the fixing the plumbing, but 40 acres sounds like an awful lot of work to me.
It was back then. Now they just say just a room and a half a car.
And maybe a chicken in every pot, unless you're vegan.
There you go. But I don't want that. And when I say that in public spaces, and people say, well, you mean to tell me you never wanted to own a house? I'm not from that mindset. But do you have to punish me because I don't?
Right.
You know, do I have to pay the, you know, all your taxes, all your everything, just because I don't want to own a house? And when I say pay tax, that's what they say. Oh, well, you know, property taxes, but see, we have to pay property taxes. You think I don't pay property tax? You think that's not in that $20 increase a year that I get for the past 4 or 5 years? No improvements to the property, to where I live, just that increase. And I know it's property taxes and utilities, quote unquote, they say.
Plus the property taxes are probably going up because of that wave of gentrification. Yes. Getting closer and closer all the time. So your property values have gone up, even though you couldn't sell it for any more, and it's still in exactly the same state. And if it was a dump before, it's a dump now. But somehow it's worth more to live there now.
Exactly, yeah. It's crap.
So I want to ask Clay a question. He's been the gentleman in here, and he's been very quiet, so he's given the women a lot of opportunity to speak. So I want to say all men aren't selfish. Clay's not been on the mic like that. men aren't selfish. That's thanks, right. Clay. So, yes, he is. So I want to say there's been a lot of challenges, you know, in with having fair housing. What is rewarding for you? What is the reward from your involvement with More Squared's organization?
My reward is seeing, well, there are many rewards. There's not just one reward, but it is meeting, working with a caring, hardworking diversity of people that are focused on the inequities that exist. Now, you know, that's a common phrase that's used. However, in More Squared, it's more than a phrase. It's more than talk. And that's what I appreciate and acknowledge and so happy, if you will, in being a part of this organization, because there's actions that take place. And there's action after action after action and many different issues, not just in housing, but many, many others too. The task forces that exist within our organization, we meet once a month, and so we have breakouts, and that is where the planning and for the actions take place. So to me, it is the follow through, and it is the action. And if I may say one thing back to housing, however, I was dismissed or whatever from the apartment building I was in. There were four apartment buildings over on Kenwood Avenue, and there were four units within each building. Now, the way this happened was the leases were not renewed. It was a new owner within the last 2 years. So we received a notice. It was an email notice within 40 days to be out by within 40 days. Now, some people did not receive the email. Yeah. I mean, it went to their junk mail. I didn't receive it. The only way I heard about it is through my neighbor. And the only way they really delivered a formal letter, they laid it on the outside of my door. Mm-hmm. Now, I mean, this is probably simple compared to what other people in this town are going through with evictions. Yes. And so in my case, some of these people lived there. It wasn't just a common or a quick come and go, maybe for a year. Some of these people live there for 20 years. Mm-hmm. And so you really get to know your community, your neighborhood, and you develop almost a friendship. So the people, what they're doing is they're going in and redoing all the apartments, and they'll double the rent. Now, that's just an example of the gentrification that's going on in Midtown, mm-hmm. right here. Yes, it's on Troost, it's on East of Troost, but it's just west of Troost also. So it makes it, again, unaffordable for many people. And all that I talked to within my neighbors there, they were moving. They were trying to stay in the area, but again, it was going to be double the rent of what they're paying. Now, for many, many people, as we know, that makes it truly unaffordable. And that's why with More Squared, it's an issue we are working on, and we're working on through several ways, but it is through engaging the tenants, engaging the renters that are there to come together, and with a tenants, looking at tenants' rights, looking at possibly developing a tenants' organization, and therefore the tenants will have, it's coming from the grassroots again, and it's working on the tenants coming together and forming and talking about their problems and their rights, and then going from there.
A union for tenants.
That's it. That's right, because, you know, because we're so divided, and a lot of times we don't even speak to one another, You know, we may live in the same complex. We don't even know what each other's issues are. But when we get together, and I did this with my neighbors in 2015, and come to find out, I thought I was alone. I didn't. Everybody was having the same issue with their utilities and how they couldn't afford those, with the arbitrary and contrary ways that we were getting evicted, or they were getting evicted for little or nothing. And in my place where I live, they come in and inspect every 3 months. But they have excuses the other 2 months to come in to see if the place is clean. If you fail so many of those, you are evicted, or they don't renew your lease. Instead of coming in to see that it's still snowing in my unit, it snows in my unit, okay, and rains in my unit. They don't even look at those things.
How can you keep it clean if it's raining and snowing inside in your unit?
Exactly.
And why are they telling you that you can't have piles of clothes or piles of paperwork in your lease?
Exactly. But they tell us that we're violating this community agreement where we promise to keep our places clean. And when I say clean, you're right. No, you better not have a piece of clothes on the floor or too many papers or anything like that. When the manager came and checked and opened up my refrigerator door to look to see if I slammed the door on her because I said, you are not the health department. You have on no gloves. And how dare you look at my... I mean, but it's just so psychologically invasive, you know, to keep me and you know, or tries to keep all of us at that level of servitude. Well, no, ma'am, I'm so glad I live here. No, it's not really that. You know, we're not so glad when you're in here invading us every 5 minutes. I mean, you know, who wants that?
Just like... I was under a specific type of HUD during my childhood, which I then became unqualified for, or my family did, I should say, once I turned 18. And HUD inspected once a year, just like that. They looked in your fridge, and you had to clean for 2 weeks in advance.
Yeah, try that every 3 months.
Yeah, I can guarantee I would be thrown out of my current house, and I can guarantee that when I was teaching, Una is pointing and nodding her head violently at this point. Your den isn't all that tidy either, sweetheart. You would also be thrown out, and no one would be there to look after the cats.
There are entire lost civilizations in your den.
Yes, and I'm looking forward to Indiana Jones or... Lara Croft coming round to try and discover them for me. And then I can have tourist guides and make a fortune.
Well, I'll take Lara. You can have Dr. Jones.
Only if he brings the dog.
So I'm going to say it sounds like the question of the hour is, what is clean? Yeah. What is clean?
Yes. We all have it's our clean, but it's untidy.
And it depends on your relatives.
Yeah, if you've got a mother-in-law that does the traditional thing of dragging the finger through the dust, yeah, you might be able to write epics in some of the locations.
So what is the upcoming event that you're having around this tenant union?
Right, so you nailed it. We're developing a tenants' rights organization, and what we're doing is door-knocking tenants, and our Jewish and Unitarian brethren gave us a pass, and they're cool with us Christmas caroling and door-knocking. So that's what we're doing. We're Christmas caroling and door-knocking tenants. On Tuesday, we will be meeting at the Moore Squared offices, and that's at 31st and Linwood and Olive. Linwood and Olive Linwood and Olive at Linwood United Church is where the Moore Squared offices are. And we will be there at 5:30 p.m. on Tuesday. We'll do a quick training for everyone. We can't train you to sing, but we do have carol sheets. I will not be singing. I'm just going to spare everyone that. But we are going to train you on how to talk to tenants. And just basically we're just saying, hey, are you sharing our concerns about rent and eviction laws and affordability, or how did you say that?
Able to afford
housing, right? That's what we need here in Kansas City. So, and then giving people a bit of education about the Healthy Homes Ordinance, because word is still getting out, we think, to the 220,000 people who live in rental housing in Kansas City. So that's our aim, is to just door knock on Tuesday night. It'll be our last door knock of the year. And then we'll continue to work to develop a tenants organization, a tenants union, if you will, because there are serious issues hitting people in rental housing, some of which have been described today and some that haven't even come up yet. in Kansas City. We have a big mayoral race, and so we need this organization to be formed before the mayoral primary. That's our aim. There's at least three candidates that have centered plans around affordable housing or some type of housing plans, and yet, to my knowledge, none of the nine candidates have come out and talked to groups of tenants like we're doing right now. And so we expect tenants to bring their voices to the people running for mayor, and we expect to be heard. So that's Tuesday night at Linwood and Olive. Anybody who's interested in tenants' rights can join us. And then we'll have another meeting January 7th, and that's just open to anybody who's interested in helping.
So with the caroling and door knocking, which is that's an interesting concept. I have not ever heard of that before. That's very creative. So are there boundaries for that? How far will you all be going?
Yeah, so we've actually identified a place. And what we do when we door knock is we use the Voter Activation Network. It's a database of voters that's used by nonprofits like ours throughout America and throughout the United States of America, to be specific. So we have access to voter rolls. So what we first aim to do is door knock tenants who live east of Troost who vote, mm-hmm. or who are at least registered voters, because we know that they're more apt to be politically active with us, and then they're the ones that can go grab their neighbors who aren't registered to vote yet, right? Mm-hmm. So that's our aim. We have a specific zone targeted. We're probably going to Parade Park, and we've also been to Bancroft, where Miss Charity lives. And but basically, we're aiming east of Troost. We very much want this to be an organization led by renters of color, and I'm Caucasian, for anybody who's listening who doesn't know that. But as we organize, we really tend to center our work around people of color and racial inequities first and foremost. We think that class falls behind that in terms of injustice. And so if we center people of color like Ms. Charity and our other allies, then we're more successful in keeping the organization centered around racial issues.
Do you plan to expand to other areas within the Kansas City area?
Yeah, I myself live up and off of Berry Road in the Zona Rosa area. We've door knocked there on past issues. The organization, I'm sure, will be open. Initially, we're thinking Kansas City, Missouri first because of the mayoral race, and then we may branch out. Certainly, this issue is regional, and we can't just isolate it to one city. Like I said, rent is flat in Johnson County, so we know the people who were our neighbors here are moving there. They're moving to Raytown. They're moving to Grandview. So it would not make sense for us to just keep it here. But right now, strategically, it makes sense to stay focused on the mayoral race. Mm-hmm.
And I just kind of want to comment. This kind of goes back to what Clay was sharing. I think we are all on a fixed income. If you think you're not, then just take a further look. We're all on a fixed income. For those who you only receive like a Social Security check or retirement check, they don't really have the ability to obtain a second job or a third job. For those of us who are thankful to have a full-time job and remain in employment, that's great. You do have the opportunity, or maybe you don't have the opportunity or time to work a second or third job. That goes out to the single mothers, the single fathers. You know, children come first. Family comes first. So although you may need that extra income to supply a stable and substantial living, you're not able to do so, which to me, that equates to a fixed income.
Mm-hmm.
So the struggle is real, folks. The struggle is real. We're all in it.
And we need to erase the shame associated with fixed income. I was on the phone with my phone company because my phone bill didn't go through when I know I had the money. And they were like, ma'am, are you on a fixed income? And I was like, I know I sound like a ma'am, but...
for starters.
For starters. But it was just all the shame shoved onto me by her voice when there is no shame in having a disability where the government is giving you money so that you can live or your community. It doesn't matter who's giving you money. You need money to live because you're disabled. You cannot work. And there is no shame in that. And as Angela said, everyone is basically on a fixed income.
Or you're old and you've paid into the system your whole life, and suddenly it's an entitlement rather than something you've paid into and that's been taken away from you from every paycheck, and you've never had a choice about what to do or whether to invest it.
Yes, I'm 68. And at 68 years old, knowing that my Social Security income is all I get unless I go out and Uber. I do that when things get desperate and I really want, you know, like something for dinner or something like that. But to know that out of that amount of money, I pay over half in rent and then another fourth in utilities. I have about $100 or $200 to live off of after I pay those two obligatory bills.
And the statistics as well about what the poverty line is, and it's not just an absolute number because it varies across the country, and one of the statistics for the poverty line is that you shouldn't be paying more than a third your income for rent.
But that goes by some kind of formula or calculation. Now, last I heard, the calculation they use is the average or median income in Kansas City is $78,000. Now, we know it's 34, and in my area, it's 24 to 34, but that's what they're using to calculate that formula to charge me the amount of rent that they do.
They say that in the United States, 50% of us cannot afford a $500 emergency that arises within a month. 50% of us. And, of course, there's a bigger percentage of that 50% who rent than own, of course, right? And so what we've all described is very real. A situation, a health problem, a car accident, a car falling in disrepair, anything happening within your extended family, somebody dying and you have to come up with funeral expenses, any one single thing can put people in this country in the state of homelessness, right? And we know once you're there, it's much more difficult to get back, right, on your feet. And so we're just asking for, let's be reasonable about this economy in Kansas City. And we do have some potential solutions, but we wouldn't dare come up with the solutions without the people at the table. And that's why the door knocks. That's why we exist, as we center the work around the people most personally impacted by it.
Will you be door knocking on the other side, on the east side of 71 and on the east side of Prospect?
Maybe. It just kind of depends on it just kind of depends on how many people we start to assemble and how quickly we can get that done.
I know for a lot of people in Kansas City, the line is truced, but it's like doubles in poverty once you get on the other side of 71 and the other side
Absolutely.
Of Prospect.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's actually where the majority of our door knocks have been. We, with our office, Olive is a block this side, a block west of Prospect, right? And so we primarily, for Healthy Homes, we primarily door knock tenants around, say, 31st Street and Prospect was the area that we concentrated on. And yeah, so we try to get out there with the people. And anybody's welcome. We just may not make it to everyone's door with 220,000 tenants, you know.
Yeah. And with your organization focusing on racial equity, you are obviously aware of why that truced is that line for
Absolutely.
Poverty and allegedly affordable housing.
Yeah, why is it truced? Well, you know, Dr. Truest, you know, he had that plantation up on Truest, and that's why they named it that. I keep flashing back in my mind, back a couple of months ago, I was asked to do a presentation at the Mission Hills Country Club on gentrification. Boy, was I not popular. Okay? I was the only black person in the room, and I was the only female in the room. And to sit out here there with all these, you know, and I love them dearly, but white guys, it was really, really intimidating. However, as I spoke with them, and they were so gracious to come to me afterwards, and each one of them explained to me, what do they call it?
Covenants.
No, not a covenant. Oh, yeah, the covenant, because we talked about that, and redlining. But just the whole concept of me, oh, capitalism. That's what they want to explain, how wonderful capitalism was. And I said, yeah,
thank you.
You've obviously never heard of that, having lived in a capitalist society. That has to be some of the most epic mansplaining I've heard.
Oh, man, it was amazing. And I didn't expect... One of the persons that was there was a television commentator, and he asked me on TV the next week, and he wanted to talk. I thought he wanted to talk about what I wanted to talk about. He wanted to talk about gentrification and the Mission Hills Country Club. Mm-hmm. And to know that J.C. Nichols did start that country club, and he did set up those covenants, and he took that concept all over the United States, and he set it up in Baltimore, and he set it up in various other places, how to keep blacks, women, Jews out of your neighborhood, how to keep from selling or allowing them to own property. It's ridiculous. And then, but now, and I asked all those men, but by the way, I got my data from my Uber driver, because I ask everybody that got in my car what they think about gentrification, you know. But the one young lady that said, you know, Miss Charity, I hate it. She said, all those folks from Johnson County trying to come down here, and I just, our place is colorful, and I don't want to see them. And she was a young white girl with green hair. I was taking her to the Drunken Worm to work, and she was the most delightful person. But she doesn't. She said, my dad lives in Johnson County. I don't want them coming over here. They're messing up everything. And I don't want to put it like that. However.
However, Ward Parkway is...
yeah, just don't want to do it.
And I just want to say to Miss Cherry, shout out to you for going ahead and saying what you needed to say in front of that crowd like that. I'm giving you your props for that. Yes,
thank you.
You are welcome.
She always does that.
You would think they would know about gentrification, because they're probably the ones doing all of it and making the profit from it.
You bet they are. And I told them, I said, I don't mind you taking that cruise or buying that new car or getting that new mansion, but do you have to do it off of my back? Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, and all the people that we're over you're suffering, do you have to make that other 10% profit? You know, it comes to be a moral thing, and it comes to be a heart thing. You got to do the right thing.
When the store goes, we want you to make more money than last year, when really you want to know how much money does it take to run the store, and as long as I make a larger percentage than that, you should be happy.
Exactly.
And so I just want to emphasize here that it is important to have numbers. There is strength in numbers. So do you all provide volunteer opportunities for Moore Squared?
We have exactly two staff people for Moore Squared, two paid positions. Everything we do is done through volunteers. We just don't use that term. We say leaders. So yes. Once you step up, you're a leader. So everything we do is leader run. I just get the privilege of being a part of the strategy and the collecting the money to keep it going and all that kind of stuff. So my job is about the fundraising and the grant writing and then the actual organizing and the planning and the, you know, sometimes coming up with ideas like, let's ram Christmas carols into this, because it's hard to get people to go outside in December in Kansas City, right? Let alone go door knock, right? So I'm kind of the strategist for us, but basically everything else is done by leaders like Miss Charity and Clay.
If I could back that up, Laura is our executive director of Moore Squared. Leadership is an important part of Moore Squared, and we have a week-long training program that many of our members, our leaders, have gone through, and it's truly a great experience. It kind of opens your eyes to yourself and what your self-interests are, and on leadership responsibilities and developing relationships in what we're all trying to do. So that's a very minuscule part of what the leadership training is. And also in the women's program, Intasaki, there's also a women's leadership training program there. So, and then Laura will also, and other members will reinforce the leadership concept at Moore Square in our board meetings and in our issues to action meeting, which is a separate meeting on a monthly basis where we discuss where we are, where we're going, and how we're going to do it.
And we'll talk more about the leadership and the inner workings of Moore Squared after this short break. Hello, and welcome back to Every Woman on KKFI 90.1 FM, Kansas City Community Radio. We are talking with Clay Laura and Diane about their organization, More Squared, or More Two. They have an upcoming event where they're going to be caroling door to door to ask if people have concerns about tenants and their affordability of housing. Diane, would you like to... The first meeting is going to be sometime in January?
Yes, it's going to be January 7th. And that seems like a far way off, but it's right around the corner. So you've got to join us at 6 p.m. It's from 6 to 7 p.m. And it's called the Kansas City Renters Meeting. Okay? And it's going to be held at Trinity United Methodist Church at 620 East Armor Boulevard. Now, that's about Armor Boulevard and Holmes. Trinity United Methodist Church. And Clay, Mr. Markison, is our contact person. You'll learn more about your rights and start a conversation with other tenants about changing the things that hurt our families. Rent is too high. Amen. Too many people are getting evicted. Amen. Let's fight back. Amen. So if anyone is interested, I'm going to say this number twice. This is for Clay. He's at 816-392-4515. That's 816-392-4515. Or you can reach him at claymarkison@gmail.com. And you can call Clay and ask him how to spell that name, okay? But it's about how the rent stole Christmas, and I just think that's just the best thing in the world.
So, quickly, since we only have 3 minutes left, I would like to talk about the important ship of... The important ship. The important... of the importance of the leadership and... how people do get involved with More Two, and what that experience is like for people, and where they can get information on how to be involved with More Two.
Uh-huh. It's More Squared, actually. We should have corrected you early on. It's More Squared. We've got a funny little name with an exponent in it, and it doesn't always type that way, so we understand the mistake. The way you get involved, you can be an individual member, and you can just contact me. I'm Laura. It's More2.org is our website, or you can find us on Facebook. I'm Laura McDonald, L-O-R-A. And basically, a congregation can become a member. We have institution members, like a couple of non-for-profits are members. And an individual can become a member. There is a dues cost for an individual, but they can do that by leveraging a sponsor if they can't afford it. We don't want it to be cost prohibitive, but we also know everyone has the ability to leverage a little bit of money if they understand their power, and so we'll teach that if they need help. You can get involved in any of our activities. Almost everything is free and available and open to the public, and just really based on your interest.
So you said to a sponsor, what other programs you have for your members? You said there was leadership training. There's also other training.
We do... all of our training is called leadership training. We have a women's leadership training. We do national leadership training with our Gamaliel colleagues from around the nation, and we have three or four of those that we offer every year throughout the nation. And then we have local trainings that Marcus, the organizer who works for us on the Kansas side, and myself put on, and sometimes we'll bring my colleagues in from around the nation. So we're always doing training because we all need to learn to be better leaders, and stuff changes all the time, and we've got to be able to shift and pivot and move with the times, right? And then we have a monthly issues task force night. We call that our issues to action night. That's where the renters meeting is. So if you wanted to get involved in any of our Missouri issues, it's education, criminal justice, and policing, workforce development. We're looking at the airport and doing some things with that. And then this new housing issue. Those are the issues embedded in, did I say education? Those are the issues embedded on the Missouri side issue tonight. And then in Kansas, they're working on issues of criminal justice and immigration primarily, and they're about to onboard a new task force, but I can't really speak to that publicly yet.
So you have a monthly meeting. It's at the Trinity United Methodist.
You got it.
So that's at Armour and Holmes, approximately.
Yep.
And so if people want to get involved, they can email you at lauramcdonald@gmail.com.
Not at all.
No. I got it wrong.
No, my name is Laura, but it's just mcdonald@more2.org okay. is my email. mcdonald@more2.org is my email. And
McDonald is McDonald, in case anyone wants to stick an extra A in there or anything like that.
Not the Mac. We're the Mc type. Yeah, like the Golden Arches.
So I just want to say to everybody listening out there, this is a diverse group who are a part of More Squared. So don't feel like, where will I fit in or what do I have to offer?
That's right.
It takes everybody of different backgrounds and cultures to make the world go round. So don't be afraid. And I looked on the Facebook page for the contact number for More Squared, 816-277-5912. Is that still in action?
Yes, ma'am.
Perfect.
That's my number.
All right. So I just want to say, don't be afraid, folks. Step out there. We can all make change happen.
And I think the idea for the caroling is a brilliant one, because getting anyone to open up a door when someone knocks on the door, especially when it's dark and cold out,
yeah.
and it could be anyone. Brilliant idea. And if anyone's worried about singing, go ahead and sing, because usually your voice is fine. You just worry about it too much, and then your voice tightens up because you're worried. So go and have a good time and share with everyone if you're interested at all in singing and getting out in the cold and being there for people. So thank you so much for being with us today. You've been wonderful. And I'd like to thank my co-host, Anthony. And behind the board, I'd like to thank Angela Belize and my wife, Una. And you've been listening to Every Woman on 90.1 FM KKFI Kansas City Community Radio.